So what I'm presenting on today is some more resources of where you guys can go to ask questions. We'll give you the opportunity after this to ask questions of us and Molly, who knows a lot more than us in many cases. But I know some of you will have specific questions. If you're anything like me, you want to read all the details about it before you make decisions. And there's a lot of places you can go to get that information. First and foremost, whether you have taken the exam or not taken the exam, the place you want to go is to the public health exam website. They have a long list of frequently asked questions, and this is just some of the topic areas that are covered on that website. I have to admit, I shouldn't probably admit this, but I really had not gone to the website until I was preparing for the speech since I had taken the exam. And it's a great place to go even if you've already taken it. It really lays out the new information on how to get your CE credits, and so it's a place to visit regularly no matter where you are in this decision process. And it gets into some real specifics that you guys might have as individual cases, you know, things like, what if my school wasn't accredited when I went there, but it became accredited a year later? It answers those kind of specific questions. So I encourage you to go to that. There is also a place on the website where you can enter a question if there's something you don't see there. So you can fill this out, and Molly or another staff member will respond to you with an answer to that. And, of course, if it's asked regularly, you'll eventually see it come up on the website under the frequently asked questions. You can contact the group. I have this as my last slide also, so don't feel like you need to write all this down. But contacting the National Board of Public Health Examiners. I've had the pleasure of working with Molly in preparing for this speech and doing other things, but they have been very, very responsive to any questions that come forward. As I go through some other places, some of the social networking that's going on, they're highly involved in that and able to answer questions. So feel free to contact them if you have questions. There are two places of social networking that will happen. The first is Facebook, and Facebook is open to examinees who have taken the exam and also those who have not taken it yet. It's just a place for people to go, and there's study sessions for different universities that are announced there. There's new information coming out all the time from the National Board of Public Health Examiners. It's a great place to put those questions like, hey, I need some study tips and tricks, and get some past examinees to respond to that. So there's a really active group on Facebook discussing the exam. The other place, once you have passed the exam, is you can join LinkedIn.com, and that's a place where past examinees can start discussing more detail about opportunities for continuing education, questions you may have. There's people who have posted their Excel spreadsheet that we talked about, so others don't need to reinvent the wheel about how we're going to do that. You also see opportunities like this. This is how we all got up here to speak, is that this opportunity was posted on LinkedIn for CPH professionals to say, is anyone going to be at APHA, and would you be interested in presenting? So there's opportunities that always arise through that. I would highly encourage you to, if you have passed the exam, to go ahead and join this. You don't even have to go check it all the time. You'll get email updates when new posts have been added and that kind of information. So it's a great place to go. There are monthly webinars. This is the website for the webinars. They are archived, and there's also new ones. In fact, there's one this Thursday, I believe. So there's one coming up. But the old ones are also archived for anybody to look at any time, and they go through different questions and more detail about certain things that we may have discussed here, but in a lot more detail. The National Board of Public Health Examiners also offers an opportunity to do interactive distance learning for any group you have. So if there is something more you want to talk about, you think you might have, your employer may be interested in this, and we want to bring employees and talk to them about it, they will offer those kind of things to anybody who has a group that they want to put together, and they can tailor the discussion to whatever you need them to tailor to. And you can do that just by contacting the National Board of Public Health Examiners. They do have a booth here. So booth 1944, everyone write that down. But it's a good place to go. They have some special things this year. I went and visited already, and that's where you can get your bling if you pass the exam. But in addition to that, they have some sample exam questions. So if you're still kind of on the line, want to see what's going on, go check that out. There's also the list of the new people who have just passed the exam. So go see that. See if you know anyone. Give them congratulations or go see your name on the list if you're excited about that. The other thing is to ask past examinees. I think that past examinees, I hope you've seen today, have kind of gone through this, have a lot of knowledge about it, know the tips and tricks, are figuring out all the ins and outs of continuing education. And so all the people who have passed the exam, there are names listed on the website. So you can go to the website, browse through names, see if there's anybody you know. I also am going to now turn it over to allow you guys to ask questions of us as we're here. We are kind of here throughout the conference. You might see other people. I think that there's people wearing stickers that say, ask me about the Certified in Public Health exam. So really do take this as an opportunity to examine us and use our knowledge of what we've gone through. So with that, I will open up to questions and put this information back up there again so you guys can write down any contact information.
I can go ahead and tell you that registration is open now through Thanksgiving for the next exam. Registration, right now we're in the regular registration period, so it's $425 for students. Again, a student is defined as someone who is currently matriculated at a graduate level public health degree program that's accredited by CEE and will have completed or be concurrently enrolled in 21 hours as of December 31st, 2010. Does that mean long things are you ever expecting? Registration also is always available to alumni of schools and programs of public health that are accredited by CEE, and the alumni rate right now in the regular registration period is $475. So the registration fee is certainly an investment, basically an investment piece in your career, as you heard. And the National Board of Public Health Examiners is really a nonprofit. You heard of it. We're developed by all of the item writers are volunteers. And there is third-party, full and partial financial support for the exam registration fee. So that is also available to third-party sources. The other question that I know the answer to is how many times is a person able to sit for the certified in public health exam? And barring inexcusable behavior, a candidate is eligible to sit for the certified in public health exam until they become successfully certified. All of us have taken and signed a pledge of acceptable use, that we won't share items. So even when we're sharing study tips and tricks, that's why it's kind of, general. We can tell you that it's multiple choice questions, but we absolutely cannot share any specific questions from the exam that we took. And the third question was the reassessment experience that will be completed at the 10-year anniversary of certification. And the details on that really are forthcoming, including, as Rosie said, the format of that reassessment and the cost of that reassessment are still to be determined. Fortunately, we have a little bit of time to figure that one out yet. Any decisions and policies will be posted to the website, as we heard from Hillary. That answer your question? Behind you, the gentleman in purple.
Yeah, so just a little bit more about the exam. I know it's all multiple choice, but is it like, I just took the MCAT recently, you know, it's passage-based, and then you have 8 questions per passage. How is it? Is it set up differently than that, or is it?
It is. Does anyone here want to take a stab at what you remember from how it's set up?
What does passage mean?
Like, you'll have a passage of, with like 7-8 paragraphs about a specific topic, and then you'll have questions based off that specific passage, and then you can go on to another passage. I wasn't sure if this was like more specific. Each question had a specific thing you need to like define.
It's more. not, if I remember correctly, it's intermingled, so it's not like, and now you'll have your biostatistics questions. Right. Now you'll have notes. No, it's all mixed in there.
So there's some passage and some discrete questions.
Yeah, but the passages are probably not as long as what you're thinking of in terms of, it sounds like maybe a medical case kind of passage, right? Yeah, these are shorter and briefer as opposed to, you know.
I will add to that, they're totally accurate information, that the National Board of Public Health Examiners subcontracts to the National Board of Medical Examiners or Exam Development Administration. So if you're familiar with RED, which is the top testing platform for the MCAS and the USMLE, then you already know RED, then you're going to use RED again to take the Certified in Public Health exam. If you're not, if you haven't yet met RED, you can meet RED by downloading from the website, as Elaine said, and you can, you know, meet RED before the exam. You also have 15 minutes to learn the tutorial when you're actually in the exam site.
I could add to that. You know, I took the GRE online, and when I took the GRE, I found it not so useful. I mean, you had a clock in the corner, it's ticking down on you, and you couldn't go back to pages. So once you finished that and you moved on, that was it. So it was very different for me compared to when you would take a written exam, in which my strategy would be, let me go through everything I know, I'm going to mark some things I partially don't know, and if I have time remaining, I'll go back there. The way the board CPH exam is more like how I used to take the written one. It does give you a chance to say, I think it might be this, and I can flag it. It does give you opportunity to go back and forth as if it was a paper exam. And so I found it it's useful to get yourself acquainted with this and download the tutorial. But it's not like all, computerized exams are all the same.
So all 200 exam items are single best answer multiple choice. So there's no easy breezy all of the above, none of the above. You do have to make fine discriminations between response category A, B, C, or D. The single best answer multiple choice questions fall into several types. There are just, you know, matching items or discrete single knowledge questions. There are what we call scenario questions, where in a couple sentences we paint you a little picture of something going on in public health somewhere in the world. We'll ask you a couple of questions that draw from that scenario. And then there are also multiple choice questions that have associated graphs, pictorials, and charts. We'll ask you to make some interpretations or draw some conclusions from that visual in a multiple choice format. And the lady next to you, yes, in the suit. Yes. Well, I might have oversimplified it. It depends which institution that you're in. Again, you must have completed all requirements for the degree by December 31st, 2010. So you can register now with, you know, the best intention of completing all requirements for the degree by December 31st, 2010, and you see it for the 2011 exam. And related to that is, someone mentioned one of our frequently asked questions is, the National Board of Public Health Examiners, in recognition of the multi-year process that is these accreditation, does offer a three-year retroactive eligibility. So if your institution becomes accredited in 2013, once they become accredited in 2013, all of their alum from 2010 and beyond will be eligible for the Certified Public Health Exam. There's a question here in blue, and then I'm going to move to the left. Anybody want to handle the exam administration question?
Once a year?
It occurs in August, I believe, at least it was when I started. So it kind of, it'll give dates in August when you can schedule it, but so it's once a year during kind of a two-week, I think, I don't know exactly how long I'm going to say, but period where you can say what exact date you're going to take it on, but it needs to occur during.
So the exam is offered annually, so it's a one-year administration during a three-week testing window. We use ProMetric, so if you're familiar with the ProMetric testing network, which is global, you use that for your computer-based testing sites. The very first three exams were offered in August, and the National Board of Public Health Examiners just moved the annual administration from August to February, starting in 2011, and that is in large part in response to the academic public health community, which said, if you offer it earlier, we'll have our students sit for it. So we're going to try February 2011, and I imagine you proceed with February 2011. As our panelists mentioned, registration works kind of like a Southwest Airlines ticket, if you remember going Southwest. So the earlier that you register, you know, the better the price. And you get your first in line for first dibs on seats when the boarding passes finally come out. So same thing with the certified and public health exam. You register earlier, you get the earlier price, you pay the lower price. Then later on, we call them scheduling permits, Southwest calls them boarding passes. And that is your opportunity to pick your particular exam date, time, and location. And again, there's parameters all over the world. There is an international charge to sit outside of North America. And your second question had to do with multiple certifications, which some of the panelists have. I thought somebody was a radiology.
Oh,
okay.
But those are very different depending on education opportunities, so there really wouldn't necessarily be an opportunity, I think, to get those into the domain.
Okay. So I appreciate that, right? Certified in public health continuing education has to, the content for certified in public health continuing education has to address one of the domains that we were tested on as certified in public health professionals. I'm both certified CHED and certified in public health. So I'm certified within my specialty of health education and then also my broad base of all of my skills in public health. And again, any content that addresses the domain of the certified in public health exam counts. So it's most likely that you're going to see content that addresses one of the social community, what is it called, behavioral community health sciences, you know, domain might also work for some of my areas of competency for my CHES exam.
You can report it twice, I guess is what she read. You can use that same.
I can report it to the National Commission on Education Credentialing for my Category 1 or 2 CEPH, when I can also report it to the National Board of Public Health Examiners for my CEPH CE. Again, it's all based on the comments and questions. Here in the last letter, I meant to
As a current student does, we're supposed to have to take it in February. Is the actual certification contingent upon their graduation?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to clarify.
Okay, good.
There's
going to
be a lot of questions.
Yes, trendy trainers, I love it. So the bylaws of the National Board of Public Health Examiners state that we credential graduates of secret graduate schools and programs. So to honor that bylaw, schools and programs that extend eligibility for their students allow them to sit sort of early while they're still matriculated, while they're still in their curriculum. Upon successful completion of the exam, the National Board of Public Health Examiners holds the CPH exam, and once graduation is verified by your academic institution, then we add your name to the list, then we send you that big certificate suitable for framing on your wall, then we'll do any third-party verification from any employer or anyone who wants to verify that you really are certified. All of that happens upon verification of graduation. Here in the green.
Hi, I'm certified by, I'm a nurse practitioner certified by the National Corporation, and they allow continuing ed to include other colleges and courses as well as publications through your first office. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes. Does anybody else have any thoughts on this?
Well, you did use that those opportunities as sort of the informal continuing education. So you document that activity and record it and continue to know those criteria.
Are there a certain number of formal and informal?
Not right now. The National Board of Public Health Examiners has launched the maintenance of certification, certified in public health continuing education part of it, to be intentionally broad and wide. Our field has never had a continuing education requirement before, and the board really wants to make sure that we understand all of the ways that public health professionals across the globe are learning in the 21st century. So it's intentionally broad. After we get a couple of years of data from the 2008-2009 cohort reporting how they're learning, then the board will become more prescriptive and prescriptive, and we will probably fall in line with most other disciplines which have a Category 1 or pre-approved formal requirement and then a Category 2 or informal or self-guided requirement. That will come on down the pipe, again, after we have some more experience and see data to analyze with how our first cohorts are learning. Yes, ma'am, the brown. minimum of 30 minutes of educational content. So, you know, if you go to an hour-long Grand Crown from your local hospital on our panic flu plan, except it's 15 minutes of welcoming remarks and 15-minute break, then you can only count 30 minutes of content towards that domain of, you know, policy of immunology or whatever it is. At this point in time, it's self-reported, so it's the amount of time that you spend. If you do a one-hour webinar from CDC on dose requirements and walkability, it's really 1 hour of content, then you can record that as 1 hour. Yes, Jim McGlynn.
And just to follow up and not be the dead horse. I was certified in the third class as well. So I'm in the period of doing the first round of CDU. And I've been on your stream on LinkedIn, and I've looked at some of the Excel spreadsheets and so forth. And I understand it's all for right now. I see some people are counting journal articles they read. I get your counting time and pages to read. But mostly what I've been doing is going on CDC, which doesn't actually have a CPAC. So I've been registering for CEUs, I guess, because it's not medical, it's not nursing. NHO has some things online. But I find myself almost going overboard on the CEUs because there's no way to know if there won't be accepted. So I don't know if I'm... You know, if anything I do will be accepted because it's so broad right now before it becomes a little more prescriptive, or...
I love being on this list. You see the leadership and the really wanting to advance the field that folks who become certified in public health have. They really want to make sure they're doing it right and we're advancing the field. I totally honor that and respect that. And because we are learning, I really imagine that when we start doing the audits of the continuing education transcripts, you know, we're not at all looking to be punitive. We're not at all looking to have anyone last. So we're going to be very instructive in reviewing those and auditing those transcripts, because certainly we're all sort of co-learning, again, to make sure that we understand all the ways that public health professionals are learning across the board. And again, I just have to refer you back to the competencies. There's some examples I say. Is your basic first aid CPR AED training? Okay. A course on how a community should have, you know, capacity and be prepared for emergencies, you know, or hurricanes and disasters? Yes. I mean, that's a population base that addresses our program planning, you know, yes, that's going to count. Same thing, a basic class on using Excel? No. A class on using GIS to map food deserts in your zip code? Yes. That's going to count because that ties into your epidemiology domain or your informatics domain. So that's the guidance that I can provide.
I have a course that's put on by the Florida Department of Education and Department of Health on students studying
that. That addresses one of our competency domains, which I think is going to be the youth behavioral and community compliance domain, then yes.
And
you know,
CDC and NHO is pretty good. And as a follow-up, then the log is just, you're just keeping the log. If they allow you for a certificate, certainly do that. Mm-hmm. Make course objectives, print that up, and
that is correct. At this point in time, it's keep your own files, and if you like an Excel spreadsheet, then you can do that. If you just keep an email folder or a paper folder with your certificates of accomplishment or achievement or proof of registration or, you know, the agenda and you circle the initial of a session that you went to, you know, I went to my state affiliate meeting and went to the, you know, breastfeeding friendly workplaces session from 2:30 to 3:30, you know, circle that and keep it in the log, and that will all be accepted.
So then, December 2012 comes. Will you be asking me, having met your 50, or will you be asking me for the certification, or?
We'll be auditing records. So, you know, if we tap you to be audited, then we'll ask you to, you know, send us your email file, your hard copy file, your Excel spreadsheet to support the documentation.
And then how you would just be extended to the next 2 years?
We'll have to figure that out. I can tell you, I know that certainly this is an area of interest, and as you heard from our panelists, some of the continuing education component really was a motivator for a lot of people. They liked this idea of a public accountability of, you know, the communities that we serve, saying, look, you're getting the best evidence-based essential service because, you know, no rust grows on me. I'm always getting there. Professional development. The National Board of Public Health Examiners is in the process of customizing an online continuing education transcript. So when you go to publichealthexam.org and register, you get assigned a username and a password. That's where you always go back to get your score reports and make your payments and things like that. And eventually, you will be able to log in and get add your hours there and get reminders. Oh, we have 15 hours. hopefully, you know, the National Board of Public Health Examiners has been a long time in coming, though we're still relatively young. The board's vision is to offer the certified in public health exam at least once a season, once a semester, once a quarter, call it whatever you want. However, that would double or triple or quadruple our costs, and we are a nonprofit, and we do have to pass our costs on to the exam fee, so we are mindful of adding those extra exam days when it's appropriate and strategic, and we need to vote for the registration fee. So definitely do that. You want to make one follow-up and then come in there.
So there are programs, just like the program that I graduated from, you are required to take a comprehensive exam, which is basically like safety rules. I think having it better is perfect because then the students will actually study for those programs that are required competencies. We'll be studying for both. So I see that advantage as well for academic preparation.
Well, and I think that it was Liz who mentioned an unnamed institution that says thinking about offering the certified in public health exam perhaps in lieu of a local comprehensive, and certainly that's a model that we're aware of at the National Board of Public Health Examiners. Some institutions offer their students a choice. You can take the local or you can take the certified in public health exam. Some say you have to take the certified in public health exam but not necessarily pass. Some say you can take it as an option as part of your capstone experience. So, you know, the whole field is really learning with this new opportunity, and we're having great support and response from the academic public health community. And as you heard, a lot of our panelists were motivated to become certified in public health to really benefit the students that they teach. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I have a follow-up question to the all of the questions about continuing education. I just wanted to clarify, we need to ensure the education credits within all the different domains, or is it my specialty or something? All of my education is in that domain. Does it matter that I'm not doing the bio stats or the other stuff?
Maybe go 6 steps?
So
at this point in time, it's totally your own direction. So the board is not making any requirement that you have to get 3 hours of bio or 4 hours of ethnic. It's your choice. You know, what's your interest, where your areas of need are. In fact, I think we saw a sample score report, perhaps from Elaine, that showed that while the exam is scored overall as pass or fail, in every individual who completes the exam does get a score report back that shows your performance in each domain compared to the mean. So that might be informative to you about where you want to put some of your hours in the future in terms of continuing education. It might reaffirm what you already know about yourself and that you're strong in X, Y, and Z and not so much in A.
But it is nice to kind of push yourself out of your comfort zone, especially when these credentials are translatable across disciplines. And in public health, you're working in this interdisciplinary environment all the time. So it is a nice opportunity to kind of broaden your knowledge in case you ever decide to change direction a little bit and, you know, push yourself into it.
In the back of the glass.
This is also I wanted to ask you to explain the orientation. Of course, you do not have to be really broad and guide me to make it. Correct.
The current guidance says that if pre-approved certified in public health and continuing education is available, such as at this annual meeting of the American Public Health Association, for the first time ever, you can buy certified in public health and continuing education. Certain sessions have it, certain sessions don't. You have to go to the sessions that have it in order for
it. So, for example, I'm attending a conference that is being pre-approved for continuing ed or medical education. Chances are it would be applicable.
If it addresses one of our competencies.
Core competencies.
Exactly right. Again, I go back to the example. If you're taking a whole course on pediatric tracheotomy, no. If you're going to a session on preventing, you know, asthma, acute attacks that end up with ER visits, and that includes environmental remediation in the home.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Any of the domains, so professional and public health biology, program planning, any of the domains that we have attested our mastery to through being certified in public health. Yes, ma'am, in the blue. And then I'm coming up.
Thank you. Great.
Standard considered for other voluntary certifications and licensures and certifications. So that is the plan. And again, once we can, particularly once we have the continuing education transcript up and running and we're providing that service, then we will be asking for a maintenance or a renewal fee to be determined. The board keeps telling me to keep it under $100. And I, being a public health professional, keep saying, we have to see what the data tells us. We have to scope this out and get a budget and divide it by the number of, you know, certificates in anticipation and the number of certificates. So while I love their, you know, integrity and truth to the field, which is we're all social reformers and we want to make sure everybody has what they need, you know, I can't promise to keep it under $100 if the math and the data tells me it has to be, you know, $100. I'm coming up here to the gray sweater and then answering the
other. Is there any evaluation or feedback from the student teacher fee? Again, I'm thinking, and I'm coming from the frame of it's February, and so I'm not graduating until May. While I feel prepared enough, we're waiting until February. So is there any feedback about students who haven't graduated yet and say, whether they finish the whole degree, but whether it's worth that gap?
Well, I'd like to defer to the panel since so many of you are working with students, and then I'll add what we see from our data. Do you have any students who are expressing regret?
I don't. I mean, I don't have any students who feel prepared enough, I guess. I think so. I mean, I have to say the students I know who did it really went out of their way to study for it. So I guess regret is not, you know, I don't think so. I mean, they also repeat it, so.
And I think it can be looked at both ways, because coming from a already graduated, I had the same concern in terms of, I'm going to take it now as close as I can to when I finish school, because I was afraid that I wasn't going to have that classroom knowledge anymore. And so I think it's just kind of studying for your weaknesses. So looking at the practice exams, if there's things that you haven't gone over in class that maybe we've experienced in the real world, focus on those, but then, you know, we're finding the same thing of, like, when's the last time I had to know how to calculate X, you know, and having to go back and really relearn that. So I think it's just being cognizant of where that weakness is for you and studying accordingly.
Would the pass rate any difference for folks that were in program as opposed to...
That's an excellent question. So what we found for the 2010 exam, which you may recall, was the first time ever that students with 21 hours were allowed to certified in public health exam with their school or program's permission, is the students contributed to that overall 80% pass rate, which is really darn good. We found that students performed very well, you know, overall on the 2010 exam, perhaps not quite as well as alumni, so again, still contributing to that 88%, and I don't have all of the questions that you, I have the same questions that you do about, do they perform not quite as well in certain domains, do they perform not quite as well, you know, in the area that's not their departmental focus. I'll know more about that after I get the final report back in January.
So have you signed up for February, right?
No, so I won't have finished some of the competencies. I don't remember how long I think that February through May. So I'm learning about the exam. I actually thought it was in August. I was planning on it. And I realized it was a
So
or not February or whatever y'all may
have. Yeah, so it's probably program dependent then as to is it a 1-year program and you're looking at the cycle of your courses versus some are more 2-year programs and then, you know, you get more of that 21 credits up front.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's probably also going to be program dependent as to, and then also individual motivation, you know, to cover the other.
And there's data, I don't know if Elaine presented it, but in our exit survey, we do ask how well folks felt prepared, other academic programs for the exam, and most people say yes. Overwhelmingly, people felt prepared by their academic program. Here in the yellow and then back in the gray.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say one extra thing. I took the exam 4 years after I graduated, and I just put on my MPH notes, is basically what I studied, and that was good.
I did
keep your notes and use those. They were the best study materials.
All right, last three questions. Yellow, green, and in the back.
I actually just checked the frequent FAQs on, but I understand that there's, for those of us whose notes may be crumbling. They still exist, unless they're under hermetically sealed, kind of like the Constitution thing. But there's no time limit between the time you
depends on what areas. I mean, I know University of Michigan has their summer epidemiology program that has anywhere from a week to, I believe, 3 weeks, and they call it the summer epi program, but they have health policy, they have GIS, they have a number of biostats and for particular areas. I know Harvard also has a summer program that runs in, I think, 3 week blocks, and Hopkins has one as well. So there are a few different schools of public health that have sort of very intensive summer programs that you can use to brush up on the areas. And I think the Johns Hopkins open courseware is also a really great resource for those sort of things.
They actually had a study session for their students. It was a day long, and they went through all the five sections. That was really helpful. So you might want to check with your nearby university.
Yeah.
Again, at alma
mater,
I think when Elaine showed us the score report, you see that it overall is pass or fail. So you either earn a score sufficient for certification or not. So it's not by domain. So you can do relatively well in one area and relatively less well in another domain and still be successfully certified in other parts. Andrea, final question.
Actually, that was my question. So we're done.
Wait, so, there was a question. Did you have a question over here? I see your hand.
Well, I was just going to speak to what you had asked earlier. I just was sitting there. I was from a student, and I just took it in August, and I just got my results back. I was successful in that.
We're at time, but as we're closing down, you're welcome to approach us. As we mentioned, we're all here today to be of service to you, and we thank you for your time this morning.